Tom's Barbecue at the corner of Woodruff and Garlington in Greenville.
Why shop Reed's Jewelers? Better yet, why not? Reed's Jewelers invites you to make them your jeweler, and you'll soon discover why so many like you now shop Reed's. From their award-winning staff to their impressive selection of jewelry to their customer-friendly financing, Reed's Jewelers, Haywood Mall, invites you to join the thousands of customers who have started a relationship with them. We'd love to see you. Reed's Jewelers, Haywood Mall, next to Belk, online at Reed's.com.
You've heard talk about Harbin Lumber's strong customer service and elite customer support. They know that time is make or break for you contractors and handymen. Harbin Lumber will walk you through the project from start to finish, providing your order in full and on time. Harbin Lumber will partner with you and find solutions that will not create costly issues and problems later. Call today at 353-5053. That's 353-5053. Harbin Lumber Company. All they need is an opportunity. They will earn the rest.
If you love everything Clemson, then you need to know about Lakeside Lodge Clemson. It's a new condo hotel under development on Lake Hartwell, right across from Death Valley. It combines the best parts of owning a place on the lake with the amenities of a hotel, such as housekeeping, great food, and other services. Plus, you can rent your condo when you're not using it. Go see my friend Taj Boyd at the new sales office on Tiger Boulevard next to Ruby Tuesdays. Reserve your spot today.
Relax, Tiger Town. Founders Federal Credit Union is in Clemson. Our full-service office is located on Old Greenville Highway next to Walmart Neighborhood Market, just 2 miles from campus. And with 4 on-campus ATMs, Founders is the only financial institution you need in Clemson. Visit RelaxJoinFounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Go Tigers! Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA and a proud partner of the Clemson Tigers.
Every home is unique. That's why I, the Orkin Man, rely on science.
Oh, thanks for coming.
Whoa, you have a problem.
Yeah, cockroaches.
Well, frogs do eat roaches. It's great that you tried to take care of it yourself. But I prefer using the latest science from our entomologists to customize a treatment for your home. It'll help get rid of the cockroaches without all the mess. Ooh, did that one just...
Yep, right into my cereal.
Orkin, pest control down to a science. Visit Orkin.com for a free estimate.
Tip to the Road Rage. We're WCCP 105.5 The Roar. You want in? Now's a good time. 654-7627. People always complain you can't get in on this show. And get in right now. 654-7627. Carmelo Anthony will not be back with OKC. Surprise, surprise, surprise. And there's a little sequence of tweets here that are sort of funny. Tweak of Mac writes, Melo in his interview after shooting 38%, 21% from three as OKC lost to Utah. Do you know how much I sacrificed? Then the next tweet is Tim says, Houston lost Ariza for nothing. Melo won't come off the bench. Houston employs some of Melo's friends. Melo's role in Houston would be very straightforward. Melo to Houston. The next guy, in response to the notion of Melo to Houston, says, Melo's trying to save his marriage. He knows damn well Houston or L.A. ain't going to fly with Layla. That man about to go to Utah. The then there's Miami is the best place for Melo after the buyout. Look at his body right and hold him accountable. If he cares about extending his career, that's where he should go. Okay, whatever. And then this, breaking. Melo signs with Warriors for $12 an hour plus tips.
That's good.
I may buy that one.
Yeah.
I may buy that one. I think he's, you know, I want to say he's about out of option, but Houston may actually be right.
Yeah, if they can get the financial side of things to work out, if he's willing to take significantly less money than he's been getting.
Hey, look, he gets any money at all, he should be happy. You know, I have never seen an NBA player more willing to just collect a paycheck. You know,
it's incredible.
You've never had any real feel that this guy was competitive in terms of actually wanting to win anything that matters. The only time I've ever seen a competitive Carmelo Anthony was back when he was playing for Syracuse and trying to win the national title. Mm-hmm. And to give him credit, when he played for USA Basketball.
He's been phenomenal for USA Basketball.
He really has been. And he deserves credit for that because he's competed. He's wanted to play. He's wanted to participate. There's really not anything to be gained in that. He wanted to play for his country. And I always temper anything I say about him with that because that's always forefront of my mind. You know, I don't know. Maybe he's just been around too many losers, too, in the rest of his NBA career. It's hard to say. Tony Parker, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, has agreed to a 2-year, $10 million deal with Charlotte.
Really?
That's fascinating for a whole bunch of reasons.
I'm a Hornets fan, so that's shocking. Wow. Interesting.
Yeah, and what does that mean to you, John?
That means that there is an upgrade at the backup point guard spot from Michael Carter Williams, which is not saying a whole lot.
Yeah, and what about the starting point guard spot?
He's probably on the move between now and the trade deadline.
I think that's what it means to me.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that's what the telltale sign is. If this deal is, as Wojnarowski's reporting is accurate, I would say that's what it really means. It means you have a trade off there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're going to see them make the move. Was that it, John, on your film study? Was there anybody else?
From the guys that we had talked about, yeah, that was
okay.
Basically all the
from CBS Sports, Friday Five, the biggest Heisman Trophy snubs in college football history. And yeah, texture says Kemba gone. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm not ready to admit that yet. So.
Well, I mean, that's
it's
what
coming.
That's what it means to me. I mean, if Tony Parker has been signed there to a 2-year deal, then it exactly as texture 916 says, Kemba gone.
Yep.
And to the guy who keeps writing me, telling me it's a 41% success rate to rob bank. Go ahead and try it. Go ahead. We'll see. I want to see. You know what? Try it. See how it works out for you. See how that 40% works out for you. You can quote whatever numbers you want. I don't buy any of that. Not for one second. I'm not talking about white collar insider crime. That's right. Different. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who walk into a bank and hand the teller a note. 100% of those people go to prison. You can believe whatever you want. Try it. See how it works for you.
Hop on a horse, head to your nearest bank,
yeah,
and let us know how it goes for you.
See how it goes for you. All right, so this CBS article on the greatest flops. He said, I knew I was going to write about 1995. This is from Tom Fornelli. I knew I was going to write about the 95 Nebraska team for the story because it was the greatest Nebraska team of all time and one of my favorite players of all time, Tommy Frazier. This opened up an old wound that reminded me how angry I was when Frazier finished second in the Heisman Trophy voting to Eddie George that season. This then led me to thinking about other Heisman snubs, and here we are with this week's Friday 5 topic, the greatest Heisman snubs in college football history. To compile this list, I set a few rules for myself. I didn't want professional careers to impact how I felt about the Heisman in retrospect. Good. Also, I tried to distinguish between deserving and snubbed. good. Plenty of players deserved to win the Heisman in their time, but lost to other players who had better or similar seasons, which is why I won't be including anybody from 97 on this list. Hell yes, Peyton Manning and Randy Moss deserved to win the Heisman for their performances in 97, but you know what? So did Charles Woodson. You're not kidding. Charles Woodson was the best player in America that year, period. If you don't think so, go back and watch the whole season. If you think I'm going to take away the Heisman from the lone defensive player to win it in the modern era, then you don't know a whole lot about me, he adds. So keep that in mind while going through the list. I think, and again, I did this list. People asked me to do it. They asked me to go back and revisit all of history and to pluck Heismans away from non-deserving people, and I did. And we had a pretty lengthy list. But it's interesting because we're to check this in a second, but I think that all five of his selections actually were on our list. So that's a good job there, Tom Fornelli. Tommy Frazier, quarterback, Nebraska, five. Frazier inspired this list, but I'm not putting him at one. The reason for that is I think Frazier deserved the award more. But it's not like George had an awful season. He was good. It's just Frazier was the most important player and the most dominant player in a team that was a level above its competition that season. Seriously, number one Nebraska played number two Florida in the Fiesta Bowl that season and beat it by 38 points.
Ouch.
The Huskers won all their games by an average of 38.7. They don't do that without Frazier. Meanwhile, George and the Buckeyes dropped their final two games of the regular season in the regular season finale against Michigan. Last game before the voting, George rushed for 104 yards and 21 carries. Not bad, but Michigan's Tim Biakabatuka rushed for 313 yards in the same game. Yes, he did. He rolled all over them. There was never a Nebraska game that season where Frazier wasn't the best player on the field. I could argue that George was never the best player on his offense. Hello, Orlando Pace. I think that's correct, and that is definitely one that we corrected. In fact, not only did we take it away from Eddie George, but I gave like five players that year who should have had it above Eddie George, and number one was Tommy Frazier. So I would agree with Fornelli's conclusion. I also agree with number four, Adrian Peterson, running back, Oklahoma, 2004. He was also on our list. And again, we can go back and pull this up. We did this. Now, I lose track of time. I said 2 weeks ago. Maybe it was 4 weeks ago. I don't know. Adrian Peterson, running back, Oklahoma. Peterson fell victim to a couple traps in 2004. The freshman thing is that. Says, in next sense, the biggest thing was that he was a freshman. Freshman didn't win the Heisman. When Tim Tebow won the award as a sophomore 3 years later, it was seen as a breakthrough. Then Johnny Manziel won as a redshirt freshman in 2012. So Peterson was a bit ahead of his time. Also, he just happened to have an incredible season for a freshman. 1,937 total yards, 15 TDs. In a year that USC was winning a national title, so the award was given to Matt Leinart. Now, Leinart didn't have a lousy year, 3,300 yards passing, 33 TDs, but they weren't incredible numbers. He finished 15th nationally in yards per attempt and 12th in completion percentage. By the way, we knew he was going to be a flop in the pro level too, because if you took him out of his surrounding cast and you evaluated him in a vacuum for his traits, his arm strength was pedestrian, his athleticism was pedestrian, he was bigger than Matt Barkley, but there were a lot of things to question about Matt Leinart, and obviously as a pro he was a failure. It says Peterson, meanwhile, led the nation in carries, finished third in yards as a frosh. Had Peterson had the same season, he rushed for at least 100 yards and 11 of Oklahoma's 13 yards, but been a junior, he'd have won the award. I agree with that completely. Again, he made the list. He made the list. Number three absolutely made our list, and not only made our list, but this is the guy we said should have won it. This is a good job by Fornelli. Seriously, he's hit all these things that we covered back when we did it. Marshall Faulk, running back, San Diego State. Never understood that. I said Faulk was found guilty of being a player at a WAC school in 92. Okay, so the fact that his WAC school also finished a pedestrian record didn't help, but it sure as hell wasn't Faulk's fault. Faulk finished the season with 1,758 yards of scrimmage, 15 TDs, 1,630 rushing yards, led the nation. Heisman winner Gino Toretta played quarterback for a team that was number one at the time of the voting, but would lose to Alabama in the Sugar Bowl 34-13. On the season, Toretta threw for 3,000 yards and 19 TDs. It was the lesser of his two seasons as a starter for the Canes. His completion percentage of 56.7 wasn't good enough to finish in the top 25. You know, I wish John's done a great job, but I wish Ramona was here for this conversation, because Ramona was here when we interviewed Gino Toretta. And Gino Toretta, as I said, you know, Gino Toretta was one of the strangest interviews we have ever done. I mean, he was a friendly guy. He was outgoing. There was nothing really wrong with the interview other than he truly believed he was the best Heisman winner of all time. He actually believed that he was done wrong and that people don't understand how good he was. And it wasn't said facetiously. It wasn't said in a playful manner. You could tell he really believed these things. He believed that he was not only deserving, but he's one of the preeminent Heisman Trophy winners in history. When the fact is, he's one of the worst. He never should have won the Heisman Trophy. There were 15 players, 15 players that I can name that were more deserving than him. Heck, half the country was more deserving than him. Gino Toretta was the definition of pedestrian. He played on a great team. He was nothing more than a quarterback manager. There have been other times in history where 56% would have been considered good, like back when John Brody was leading the nation with that number, like back when Paul Hornung was playing quarterback, but not in 1992. In 1992, you should have been better than 56%. There was nothing about Gino Toretta that should have indicated a Heisman winner. And so I agree with Fornelli's conclusion with absolute certainty. John, thoughts on any of that?
Well, I'm not going to fully agree with the Eddie George thing. I have a soft spot for Eddie. We played at the same high school, so. Of course, I'm going to side with Eddie George on this one.
Come on, man.
We played for the same coach, but other than that, no, I agree with it.
Tommy Frazier is one of the greatest college quarterbacks ever lived. He's the greatest.
I'm not going to argue that at all.
He ran that offense better than anyone has ever run that Power Veer offense. And in 1995, he was unbelievable. And even though it didn't count because it was postseason, but in the national championship game against Florida, he rushed for over 200 yards and just steamrolled them. You know, John, I hate to do this to you. I hated Eddie George. I just think you have to remember this was college, and in college right. He was a pretty dominant player. But Eddie George was a 6'3", well, maybe still is 6'3", 6'3 running back, 6'2", 6'3", whatever he was, who ran straight up and down vertically. Oh, yeah. And I knew he would be a semi-bust at the pro level, and that's what he was to me. When people talk about Eddie George at the pro level, I view him as a bust. And I know people don't like that, but if we want to talk about David Montgomery as 4.5 yards in a cloud of dust, Eddie George was 3.7 yards in a cloud of dust because he ran straight up and down.
No, you're right.
Look up Eddie George's career NFL numbers.
Right.
I know he had some yardage, but I want to know what his per carry average was for his career, because I don't even think it was four. I don't even think he averaged 4 yards a carry for his career. So John, busy looking that up. Next on the list, on the Fornelli list, is, you know what? I think we need to go to break. So we'll take a break. And Josh from Easley, you'll be first up as soon as we get back. I'm sorry, Josh, I didn't see you in there. You get in. Hang on in there, Josh. I'll get to you as soon as we return. Walt Tiptula, Road Rage. Texture says, sorry, John. Tommy Frazier was so far better than Eddie George. It's not even close. I got people asking how old John is saying.
We didn't play on the same team. We just played for the same guy.
I know. No, I think they have another hidden agenda behind those texts. The text is going to be brutal, John. Welcome to the show. Walk up to the road rage. We'll be right back.
Quark here for Hendrick Honda Easley. I've owned my Accord for several years, and I can tell you a Honda's the way to go. Hendrick Honda Easley has been in business 25 years, offering their customers a fair, fast, easy, and transparent experience. After you've purchased your new or pre-owned vehicle from Hendrick Honda Easley, believe me, their staff from service to finance is behind you 100%. See Hendrick Honda Easley online at HendrickHondaSC.com or in person at 4609 Calhoun Memorial Highway.
For over 45 years, Hugh Durham has been serving the real estate needs of the upstate. Whether it's residential, commercial, land and acreage, relocation, appraisals and auctions, or development, the skilled agents at Coldwell Banker Hugh Durham & Associates have complete knowledge of the area and make it easy for you to buy or sell. They understand the financial importance and guide you every step of the way. Call Coldwell Banker Hugh Durham & Associates at 225-3788 or online at cbhdpros.com. You'll be treated like family.
Buying a mattress can be a difficult process, but that can all change with one visit to Engineered Sleep. They are a mattress manufacturer that opened their doors to the public. You get factory direct pricing, a mattress made just for you, and free delivery all over the upstate. Your mattress will be made and delivered within 1 to 5 days. It is always great to buy local, but when you buy from Engineered Sleep, you are truly buying from the best. Their showroom at 627 Congaree Road in Greenville is open Monday through Saturday. Sleep like a champion with your Engineered Sleep.
You have the Samsung Galaxy S9. You are holding the fastest smartphone in your hands. It's the fastest smartphone in your house, in your workplace, in your city. Which means you can scroll faster, load faster, stream faster, watch faster, and search faster. All because you have the Samsung Galaxy S9. The fastest smartphone ever.
Analysis by Ookla, speed test intelligent data for February to April 2018, comparing mean download speeds weighted averages on major nationwide carriers 4G LTE network results.
What if there was a paint that made you look at paint differently? One that completely rewrote paint's genetic code so it can strengthen any color? What if it's built with better ingredients, even given superpowers? Since Benjamin Moore reinvented the way paint is made, it makes you wonder, is it still paint? Benjamin Moore, paint like no other.
The Carter Color Company, 1067 Tiger Boulevard, Clemson. Your independent, local Benjamin Moore paint retailer.
GEICO presents eyewitness interviews with inanimate objects.
This is Brian Bruno live on the scene of a recent robbery. Here to describe the event, a recliner.
So, I'm taking my afternoon nap when suddenly I hear a commotion. As I look up, two dudes wearing ski masks run out the door with a flat-screen TV.
Did you chase after them?
I can't run with claw feet.
Your recliner can't help in a robbery, but the GEICO Insurance Agency can help you get covered for personal property loss. Go to geico.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Every home is unique. That's why I, the Orkin Man, rely on science.
Oh, thanks for coming.
Whoa, you have a problem.
Yeah, cockroaches.
Well, frogs do eat roaches. It's great that you tried to take care of it yourself. But I prefer using the latest science from our entomologists to customize a treatment for your home. It'll help get rid of the cockroaches without all the mess. Ooh, did that one just...
Yep, right into my cereal.
Orkin, pest control down to a science. Visit Orkin.com for a free estimate.
Road Rage with Walt Zepsula on 105.5 The Roar.
Every time I look into your loving eyes, I see a love that money just can't buy. One look from you, I drift away.
Walt Zepsula, Road Rage. We are WCCP 105.5 The Roar. We are back. You want to get in? Now's a good time. Again, people always complain you can't get into this show. You can get in right now. 654-7627. Jump on board. College football is here. You can smell it in the air. I mean, we have our Road Rage countdown to a national champion underway. Breaking down elements of college football every single day for you as we move toward the college football season. You want to get in, 654-7627, 654-7627. Brian says, John's pretty good with the music. Now for a little Jones and Cash. Yeah, we have that in the repertoire. John's running our library. I mean, it's the same songs, you know. You have to speak to Ramona. Josh, how are you?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good.
Good. What's going on?
You're going on your list there. I know you haven't got to the last two, but I mean, I'm a Clemson fan, so I have to say Deshaun, right? Like, I feel like he got snubbed twice on the Heisman.
I don't think he got snubbed when Lamar Jackson won the award. Lamar Jackson was a very deserving winner. It doesn't mean Deshaun wasn't also deserving. He was. But I think we run the danger of looking at a situation and saying that one guy was more deserving than another, when I think the truth is there were two guys who were deserving that year. I mean, Lamar Jackson counted for over 50 touchdowns. He was sensational. Every Clemson player I've ever spoken to, including Taj Boyd and Eric McClain, both just sing Lamar Jackson's praises, as does Deshaun Watson. He was a one-man gang, and he almost beat Clemson here. I mean, he brought it down to basically the final play. And so against a team that was better than him. So as great as Deshaun Watson was, Lamar Jackson was also great. I think you have a better argument the year Derrick Henry won. And there again, I think there were two guys who were more deserving, in my opinion, than Henry. And they were Deshaun and Christian McCaffrey, who I think were both more deserving than Henry. But, you know, the thing to remember is this is a regular season award. Postseason has nothing to do with this award, and that's the issue. That's the problem with it, you know. And or actually, it's not a problem. It's the way it's always been. It's the way it's always going to be. It's a regular season award. Not everybody gets to go to the playoffs, so those are additional games. You know, if you had the benefit of that knowledge, then it might have changed things. But I think when Lamar Jackson won, I think you can make a strong case there were two deserving players. One of them was Lamar Jackson. The other was Deshaun Watson. The other year, you know, you might make a case there were three, but I would have put Derrick Henry third behind McCaffrey and Deshaun Watson.
No, I'm with you on that for sure. I was going to say that I felt like that he would have had a better shot at winning it the first go around than he did, because I think his season was a little bit better.
I agree.
They actually lost to Alabama. The season as a whole was a little bit better. But, no, like I said, Deshaun, you know, I'm a Clemson fan, so he's going to have a little bit of a soft spot for him.
Yeah, no, look, and you're talking about one of the –
I just feel like he put up such huge numbers.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and especially against Alabama. You know, he was the closest thing in college to an NFL team, and Deshaun Watson in those two games against Alabama was brilliant. He was clearly the best player on the field both years. It's inarguable. So he was sensational. And so when you look at his career as a whole and you see what he did, especially at crunch time, you know, you think that, well, you know, he got robbed to a degree, that his name isn't next to a Heisman Trophy in the way he did. You know, on the other hand, you know, he took some chances during the regular season. He threw some interceptions that, you know, that he probably wouldn't throw today. But, you know, in some of those hurt in individual games, like the Pittsburgh game.
But I'm kind of glad he didn't win it to a degree, because people who usually win the Heisman
have
pretty lousy NFL careers. So,
well, and not just that, it's a distraction come playoff or bowl time. It always has been. You know, the Heisman banquet circuit has always been sort of a curse to guys who win the Heisman in terms of playing in the postseason. And so, you know, in a way, there may have been a benefit of him not winning the award in that regard.
Well, if you look at it, I think there's only like three guys that have won the Super Bowl and won the Heisman. Very, very like, and those guys were like superstars, you know, going way back. So, you know, maybe it's a pretty good thing he didn't win it, because most of the people, you know, like you talked about, Matt Leinart, no good. Eddie George, 3.6 yards a carry. There you go.
Thank you, Josh. Hey, Josh hitting you a little bit there, John, because, John, when I told you your guy, Eddie George, for his career average, like 3.6 or 3.7, John actually looked that number up during the break, and when he gets off the phone here, I'll have him tell you what he found, because I said to you I thought he averaged 3.6 or 3.7 per carry for his NFL career. Now he did. So John, when you looked up Eddie George for his career, what did you find his per carry average was?
3.6.
3.6. Now, I will say this. He did wind up rushing for 10,000 yards in
not
his career.
Not too shabby so, for a guy who can just fall forward.
Yeah, that's basically right. That's basically right. You know, he hung around a lot of years. You know, he was the beneficiary of those television commercials, I guess. He hung around a lot of years for a guy who didn't come close to averaging 4 yards a carry. I just, you know, to me, again, he ran vertically. He just ran straight into the pile, and then he went down. That's his whole career, you know, and falling forward is basically it. That was basically his career. Chad in Lake Hartwell. Chad, how are you?
Hey, Walt, what's going on,
bud? Hey, Chad, appreciate you getting in.
Hey, I wanted to touch base on a subject you were talking about with Eddie George earlier, man.
Yep.
One thing you got to look at it, Eddie's career, the majority of it as a pro, you called him a bust. I beg to differ. I just think he got with the wrong program. If you think about it, that was a Jeff Fisher offense. And, you know, if I need further evidence, look at Todd Gurley under Jeff Fisher and Todd Gurley currently. You know, it's night and day.
Yeah,
it's,
but, you know, that was back when, you know, Jeff Fisher had some success, too. I mean, you know, he brought Tennessee to within a play of the Super Bowl.
He did, and there is truth to that statement. However, I'm just saying he was not.
By the way, Chad, I was being hyperbolic. I don't really consider Eddie George a bust, but I never really liked watching him play because, as I said, off the top of my head, I was
pretty. Level of,
No.
Sorry. He wasn't a bust on the level.
No, he wasn't a bust at all. He wasn't a bust at all. I mean, the guy had a good long pro career. It's just, you know, I knew he was a 3.6, 3.7 yards a carry guy.
Yeah, he was solid. He was good. And, you know, I'm not disappointed that he got the Heisman, but a lot of time, you know, truth be told, lifelong Buckeye here, transplant from Columbus, you know, the guy that got overlooked most in this conversation was Keith Byers. Keith Byers was a much better back than Eddie George ever was at Ohio State, you know?
Byers was a really good football player.
He was solid in the NFL as well. I mean, he was good, dependable, nothing flashy, you know, but good luck taking the guy down, you know? But I just kind of had to call because...
He's sort of a straight-leg style of run. Hey, here's the good news, Chad. I really like your running back now, J.K. Dobbins. I put him second on my list.
I do. How do you feel about Mike Weber?
I think he's his career at Ohio State is limited to carrying J.K. Dobbins' stuff. I think he's a good player.
Really?
I think he's a good player.
I think they're both going to have 1,000 yards this year.
I don't think
that's
so.
That's a bold prediction.
Yeah, I don't.
And the reason being is, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't think so. Just because I think Dobbins is so much better. I mean, I think Weber is a good player who's capable of gaining 1,000 yards if he got featured ball carrier carries as he did previously. But with J.K. Dobbins, I just think you're going to have to give him the ball. I mean, this J.K. Dobbins is LaDainian Tomlinson. That's who he is.
He is a playmaker.
Yeah, he has the same jump cut, and he has the same exact build. And, you know, this kid rushed for 1,400 yards a freshman. So,
yeah. I just think that you're going to see two guys in the backfield with over 1,000 yards. The reason being is the change of quarterback. Dwayne Haskins is going to get that starting position. He's going to share reps with Tate. But I think that, you know, that's really going to open up our backfield, man. I think you're going to see J.K. and Mike Weber, and you're going to have the worst two-headed monster since Gurley and Chubb at Georgia. You know what I mean? This year, we're not going to win it all. I'm not going out on a limb and saying anything like that. We'll make the playoff, but those two guys, by the end of this year, nobody's going to be able to forget either one of their names, you know?
All right, Chad, good job. Appreciate the call. I don't know. I think Mike Weber is going to be forgettable. I think he's a good player, but I just think J.K. Dobbins is – look, in a little bit, it's like the Clemson situation, where I think Feaster's a good back, but it's just clear to me Etienne is more talented. And the same thing is true at Ohio State. I think Weber's a good back, and if Dobbins wasn't there, then he would rush for 1,000 yards, no doubt about it. But with Dobbins there, I just don't know how you could divide those carries equally. That's not what I would do. I mean, I'm not – here's the thing. I don't mind some depth at the running back position and using multiple backs, but I am not dividing carries between one guy who's a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10 from a talent standpoint and one guy who's a 7. I'm not dividing carries between a 10 and a 7. I may give the 10 10 carries for every 2 I give the 7, something like that. But I'm not going 5 and 5 with one guy who's clearly better, because if I am, I'm stupid. Because I'm doing my opponents a favor. Every time, let me put it this way. Anytime Ohio State gives the ball to Mike Weber over J.K. Dobbins, they have done their opponent a favor. Now, again, you want to keep everybody involved. You want to use guys in different situations. You know, one guy in short yardage. There are ways to play multiple backs, and you want to keep everybody happy. That's fine. But what I'm talking about is you don't divide the carries evenly when you have one guy who's more gifted than another. And I like Mike Weber, but he is not J.K. Dobbins. Dobbins is a better player. He just is. I mean, if I'm telling you that one of your guys is LaDainian Tomlinson, why you want to give it to the other guy? You know what I'm saying? I mean, if I have LaDainian Tomlinson, I'm not sharing the carries. I'm not having LaDainian Tomlinson share the carries with some guy. You know, no offense to Mike Weber. There have been a lot of Mike Webers in the history of Ohio State football. There's, quite honestly, there's a Mike Weber every single year at Ohio State. There's not a J.K. Dobbins every single year at Ohio State. He's the next great one after Zeke Elliott. And you have to get him the football. And so if he doesn't carry it 20 times a game, there's something wrong there. And I think he will. And now, I do think that Haskins helps bring that offense to life, because JT Barrett has not been able to throw vertically since the injury. I mean, his freshman year, he looked like a Heisman candidate, but he's a lot like the Jake Browning situation. He has never been the same post-injury. He could not throw the ball vertically. And quite frankly, when Dwayne Haskins was on the field last year for JT Barrett, he played better than Barrett did. And I don't have much doubt that he'll provide some things to the Buckeye offense that Barrett couldn't. He's more explosive, first of all, athletically. He has a much bigger arm, So I think he immediately brings some ingredients that JT Barrett didn't, and Ohio State should be better for it. That defensive line is still going to be pretty good, too, with Bosa, who's sensational. But they did lose some depth. You lost 3 guys to the NFL who are 3 pretty good players off of that defensive front. You lost a little bit of depth in that area. But make no mistake about it, Ohio State's going to be very good again. But if Urban Meyer divides the carries between J.K. Dobbins and Mike Weber, he's making a mistake. It's the way it is. Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232, 269-1232. For all of your roofing needs, there's Gilstrap. They've been doing just roofs for 80 years, father-son business, 4 generations of roofers. For over 30 years, they've maintained an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. You've heard all the unsolicited testimony about Gilstrap. People calling, talking about who they are and what they do and what they did for them. Like Ramona, whose house was raining inside when she called Gilstrap. You don't want to wait that long. We get hit by storms almost every afternoon in the heat of the summer. You have no idea the damage that's doing to your roof. I know who does, though, Gilstrap, and they'll be glad to help you as they've helped so many others. Just call them, tell them I sent you. They'll take care of you. 269-1232. 269-1232. It's Gilstrap Roofing. We'll take a quick break. Walt up to the Road Rage. We'll be right back.
The countdown is on. 57 days till Clemson football on the flagship station for Clemson Athletics.
Man in motion. Right to left, make the pitch to him. Back the pass. Looking downfield. Here comes some pressure. And down he'll go as he'll get sacked. In the backfield, Sterling Johnson got to him, and Sterling now comes up with his 3rd sack of the year.
We are WCCP 105.5, The Roar.
Does your home have wall cracks, uneven floors, or doors and windows that are sticking? These are all signs that a foundation problem is stealing value from your home. Call Canty Foundation Specialist at 475-1671. We know your home is your number one investment, and we can help protect it. Don't wait for a foundation problem to get worse. If you have sagging floors or cracks in your sheetrock, call Canty Foundation Specialist, 475-1671, or visit us at cantyfoundationsc.com.
Hendrick Honda Easley, located in the heart of the upstate at the base of the majestic Blue Ridge Mountains, the perfect location to cruise in your new Honda while enjoying panoramic mountain views. Just a quick drive from anywhere in the upstate, Hendrick Honda Easley's got the charming small-town feel with hidden gems to see and explore along the way. Escape the everyday at HendrickHondaSC.com. Experience the Hendrick Honda difference in person at 4609 Callum Memorial Highway. Hendrick Honda Easley, the shining light on top of the hill.
Big days start small with Chick-fil-A Chicken Minis. Chicken nuggets nestled in warm, mouth-watering mini yeast rolls and lightly coated with a honey butter spread. Available at Chick-fil-A of Clemson and Chick-fil-A of Seneca, 6:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. in 4, 6, and 10-count minis. For a limited time, you can get the 10-count mini all day, only available at the Chick-fil-A of Clemson and Chick-fil-A of Seneca. Perfect for afternoon snacks. Tell them Kelly sent you to make sure it's all day at Chick-fil-A of Clemson and Chick-fil-A of Seneca, only for a 10-count mini.
While international soccer tournaments might try, nothing rallies the world together like chicken wings. So we're doing our part to bring nations together with five traditional wings for just $5 during international soccer matches. The during soccer matches condition is just a coincidence. We have total faith in chicken's ability to unite. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Offer valid June 14th through July 11th during tournament matches. Only in restaurant and participating locations. Terms and conditions and additional restrictions apply. See location for details.
Get your patio, pool, or porch ready for 4th of July entertaining with new outdoor furniture during the Craft Stove Store and Patio 4th of July sale. We have a huge selection now in stock and ready for immediate delivery, and all at special 4th of July sale prices. Shop and save today for America's best outdoor furniture, and be ready for the 4th of July entertaining at the Craft Stove Store and Patio, 3002 Wade Hampton Boulevard.
Craft Stove Store and Patio.
As a small business owner, you make every dollar count. So what could you do with $10? Go to Vistaprint.com today and you'll get 500 high-quality custom business cards for only $9.99. That's less than 2 cents per card. And at Vistaprint, your satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed. So it's never been easier to turn 500 strangers into connections. Just visit Vistaprint.com and use promo code 6262 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 6262.
With summer here, shouldn't you look as hot as a burger on the grill? If you want to look and feel as hot as noon on a summer day in the South, call Urban Nirvana. With the best stylists around, you'll get the kind of pampering you deserve. And the day spa will have you feeling as cool as a cucumber. And being able to buy a gift certificate online is better than a splash in the pool. Log on to UrbanNirvana.com, buy your gift certificate, and print it right from your own computer. Urban Nirvana, Magpie Station in downtown Greenville.
Ready SC, in cooperation with Kobelco Construction Machinery, is currently seeking individuals for warehouse associates, assemblers, welders, and industrial painters. Kobelco, a worldwide producer of crawler excavators, will be hosting a recruitment event on Friday, July 13th and Saturday, July 14th at their facility and more. For additional information and to apply online prior to the event on July 13th and 14th, go to readysc.org/Kobelco or contact your local SC Works office. Kobelco is an equal opportunity employer.
Road Rage with Walt Zepsula.
Don't you have any respect for yourself?
On 105.5 The Roar.
When I was a boy, I thought it just came to the earth, but I never could tell what's mine.
Walt Deptula, Road Rage, back to the great John Hyatt. John, you had something else on John Hyatt. You have something else on Tony Parker?
I just found it interesting. I was reading some stuff during the break that I'd forgotten that James Borrego, the new head coach of the Charlotte Hornets, was an assistant under Popovich for the last several years down there in San Antonio. So, at least from a system standpoint, seems to make some sense.
Yeah, you know, I just had another thought. I wonder if this could be a last gasp effort as well by the Spurs to try and retain Kawhi Leonard.
That makes some sense.
Because it's been rumored that one of the people Leonard didn't like was Parker.
Tony Parker had called him out last year about not coming back.
Right.
Right.
And so it's conceivable to me that if you dump Parker, maybe you remove an impediment to Leonard returning to San Antonio.
I didn't even think about that, but that makes a lot of sense.
I hadn't thought of it either until just now. It didn't come to me initially when I read that news on Parker. So we'll see how that plays out. But there may be something to watch. It may be that, you know, maybe this, I mean, I don't know, but I mean, maybe it opens the door to try and retain Leonard. We've been talking about Tom Fornelli's list. And Des said, this guy stole your list. I think he's done a good job. I think I agree. Again, I had all these guys on my list and we went more in depth. I mean, we had a longer time to cover it. I think we did like 15 or 20 of them that we removed and replaced with the what would have been the rightful winners. There are two more on Fornelli's list. If you missed it, he has a Friday Five, where he's basically redoing five Heisman trophies and taking them away from the winners and giving them back to or giving them to what he believes are the rightful winners. This one in 75, we talked about this one. I'm not 100% sure we actually replaced him. I almost think not. I did discuss the guy who he has winning, though. And that is Chuck Muncy, the Cal back in 1975. By the way, Muncy wore these giant square Coke bottle glasses. And, of course, his career, you know, Muncy was an incredible talent whose career at some point went sideways because he had pretty severe off-field issues, drugs. Chuck Muncy, in 1975, the winner was Archie Griffin. It says Ohio State running back Archie Griffin's the only player in college football history to win consecutive Heismans. Well, I'm here to tell you that he shouldn't have won the second one. In 75, there was a running back that amassed 1,620 yards from scrimmage, averaged 5.9 per touch, and scored four touchdowns. There was another running back that season that had 1,852 from scrimmage, averaged 6.9 per touch, and scored 15 touchdowns. Guess which one was given the Heisman? If you guess the one who had the worst numbers, you're correct. That was Griffin. The second back was Cal's Muncy. Muncy also threw two touchdowns that season. His mistake was playing at Cal, which finished 8-3, but played on the West Coast and didn't nearly get any attention. He deserved the award more than Griffin did. Hell, you could argue that Griffin's teammate Pete Johnson earned the award more than he did that year. That's true. Pete Johnson scored 25 touchdowns that year.
Wow.
That Archie Griffin scored four. You could also argue USC's Ricky Bell or Pitt's Tony Dorsett deserved the award more than Griffin did that season. I'd agree with those too. The point is that Griffin deserved the award in 74, and apparently some voters felt he did such an excellent job in 74, they just wanted to give him the award again in 75. I agree with that. And number one is we absolutely changed. And number one was Larry Fitzgerald. You can get in, 654-7627. Get to your phones, pick up your phone, you can get in right now. Larry Fitzgerald, Pitt, 2003. Larry Fitzgerald was just one of the guys you could have given the award to in 2003, but that's probably the guy I would have given it to. That's what we said when we did this weeks ago. It's always been an uphill battle for wide receivers in the Heisman race. Even now, when offenses are more passing-oriented than ever before, the receiver gets little love. That's true. Fortunately, I'm here to love the hell out of what might have been the greatest single season from a wide receiver in college football history. Playing on a rather mediocre Pitt team in 2003, in which he was the only real threat for the entire offense, it had to face defenses who didn't worry about anybody but him. Fitzgerald caught 92 passes for 1,672 yards and 22 touchdowns. I'm not sure that's the greatest season in receivers ever had, but it's good. Fitzgerald's 1672 were 168 more than the next closest receiver in the country, and his 22 touchdowns were 6 more than anybody else scored. And he did all this while facing double coverage at a minimum. He was amazing. So who won the award? Oklahoma's Jason White. Now, context is relevant here. The 2003 season was still early in the air raid spread renaissance that has become so prevalent in the sport today. So we weren't used to seeing some of the quarterback numbers, some of the numbers quarterbacks were posting. White finished the season with 3,846 yards, but it was the 40 touchdowns that grabbed your attention. The problem is that those 40 TDs were only good enough for second in the country. Texas Tech's quarterback B.J. Simmons, hello Mike Leach, threw 52. As for his yardage total, White finished 7th in the nation in yards, 20th in completion percentage, and 14th in yards per attempt. Also, in White's final two games of the season against Kansas State in the Big 12 title and LSU in the Sugar Bowl, he was a combined 40 of 87, 45.9% for 400 yards, no touchdowns, and 4 interceptions. The final vote shouldn't even have been close. Yeah, I would agree with that. Honorable mention, he has O.J. Simpson in 67 USC, Herschel Walker, 80, Champ Bailey, 98, LaDainian Thomas in 2000, and Ndamukong Suh, 2009. In fact, Ndamukong Suh is another one we suggested as a defensive player who should have won the award. And Ndamukong Suh, when Ndamukong Suh was at Nebraska, I mean, it was just almost unfair.
He was unreal.
What he did to college offensive linemen, there should have been some sort of rule against. It was just, yeah, I mean, as good as he's been at the pro level, at the college level, he was just a monster who just, and he's always had that sort of, I want to rip your head off insanity. Mm-hmm. And he played that way collegiately where, no one had his strength or power. No one. I mean, he was just an absolute freak of nature. There have been other defensive players who probably should have been considered for the Heisman, some that were considered, but none that won it other than Charles Woodson. And part of the reason Charles Woodson won it is he tinkered on offense. Mm-hmm. So, there was that element. I think Hugh Green was a guy who finished second the year that George Rogers won, who certainly could have won the award. And I think we've seen others. I think Leroy Selman, when he was at Oklahoma, could have won the award. Tess says, why is it that defensive players never do win the Heisman? The Heisman's sort of an embarrassing award. It really is. It's not given to the best college football player. There's all this talk always about the award going to the best college football player, but if it's like the Westminster Dog Show deal. If it went to the best college football player, then we'd have an equal division amongst the positions. We don't. It only goes to quarterbacks and running backs without fail. And so it's not even a real award. It's sort of pathetic that it doesn't go to more defensive players. Now, I think you can make the case that in the modern era, the quarterback position has become more important than ever because of the amount of times teams are throwing the football. And therefore, the added importance of that position could perhaps change the nature of the award. Tessa says, do you think Manning should have won it instead of Woodson that year? No, I don't. I think Charles Woodson led his team to the national championship. Peyton Manning didn't sniff that. Charles Woodson was the best player in all of college football. Let me tell you something. As great a quarterback that Peyton Manning was at the college level and even at the pro level, you can argue that Woodson was a better player at both. He was certainly the best player in college that year. I mean, it's inarguable. Anyone who watched college football that year, Charles Woodson, I know Tennessee fans hate this, I'm sorry. Charles Woodson was the best player in college football. He was the most dominant player. He dominated every element of the game as a returner, as an offensive player, but mostly as a defender. He was a freak of nature, and he led his team to national championship. So, to me... as good as Peyton Manning was, I still think it was inarguable that Charles Woodson was the rightful winner that year. PJ and Will, this says, I feel like Deshaun was robbed also in 2016. PJ.
Hey, Walt.
How you doing, PJ? Appreciate you getting in.
Hey, it's been a while. I appreciate you taking my call. before I get to my point, I could not agree with you more about Charles Woodson. I think I was maybe around 10, 11 years old, and I still remember plays he made that year, one of them being the one-handed interception in a game that got them into the Rose Bowl.
Yep.
On the sidelines, that me and my cousins and stuff as a young kid, we tried to emulate because it was just the greatest play I'd ever seen. But what he did as a punt returner, defender, and then obviously they started using him on offense as well, but he was just unreal as far as what he could do on a football field to dominate a game as one player.
Yeah, he was, again, I think he's on the all-time college team. I think that's how good a college player he was. I mean, he's just was just absolutely sensational. You know, there's that old cliche line, man amongst boys. He truly was. He was bigger, stronger, faster at the safety position, at cornerback, at receiver, or returner, whatever they wanted to use him at. He was just a dominant player.
Right. He was the Deion Sanders of the next era, I guess, after Deion or around Deion's time, but if not better. But I've heard you talk a lot about Will Greer and where he rates as a quarterback, and I really do think I am a WVU fan, but I'm a college football fan as well, and I try to remain objective to everything. But I think he's a great player. I think we have a great offense. And I do think he should rate in the top one, two, maybe three quarterbacks to come out next year in the draft. It's not as strong as a class maybe as it was this year. But I question, and I'll take this off the air, they have WVU ranked in a lot of standings around number 11, 12 in the top 25. And I'm kind of curious where you take that, because we've lost a ton on defense, not just from graduation, but we just keep having guys transfer and transfer and transfer. Do we have enough offensive firepower to actually compete for the Big 12 championship and get into the playoff like they're saying? And is Will Greer going to be a top quarterback taken in the draft next year? And I'll take it off the air. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, PJ. Appreciate the call. Look, West Virginia has suffered some losses. Now, keep in mind, you know, as you went into last year, this team basically had lost everybody on both sides of the ball. It was Will Greer and nothing. And still, you won. You had a very good season. If Greer doesn't get injured late in the year, it might have even been better. So, yes, you've been decimated defensively of late. Spring hurt you in that regard in terms of injury. But I still think West Virginia is a good football team, and I still think Will Greer is going to lead West Virginia to a very good season. I've taken the over on your total, which I think was 7. And in terms of Will Greer at the next level, my only question is his true height and weight, and I want to see what that actually comes down to. But, yeah, I think Greer is a potential round one quarterback, yes. Before we get a break, let me tell you about my friends at George Coleman Ford. For almost 90 years, George Coleman Ford's been doing it the right way, and they'll treat you right, too. You know, I could tell you about the steel. You know, cars cost less than Travis Rest. That's a fact. I could tell you about the fact that there are never any dealer fees or service fees at George Coleman Ford. And that's another thing that makes them really unique. But when you go and read the reviews on Google or anywhere else, what the people are all talking about, and they're all 5 stars. What the people are all talking about is they're talking about the people. You know, this guy was 240 miles away from home and his vehicle broke down and he needed help. And he called George Coleman Ford, and in 20 minutes, they had him up on the road and driving home. He was astonished and wrote a 5-star review. It's the people that for over 90 years have made George Coleman Ford special, and they'll make you feel special too. Go see him. Tell him I sent you. Will and Wahala, you'll be up next.
Broadcasting from the Priority One Security Studios, where sports is our priority.